Welcome along to The Score here on Highland Radio with myself, Kenny Harkin, and Kevin Fury here in studio. On tonight's programme, we'll be looking at League of Ireland action. We'll be hearing from Finn Harps, the manager Ollie Horgan, Derry City manager Rory Higgins. We'll also hear from Keith Cowan looking ahead to Premier Division action over the weekend. In Gaelic Games, we'll hear from Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News looking ahead to Ulster Football Minor Championship semi-finals. Donegal play Armagh and Tyrone play Fermanagh. Tom Comack also looks ahead to Hurling Championship. There's action on both the senior and junior this week. He talks to Dahi Roberts. Welcome along to The Score. Yes, welcome along. And first of all, we're going to start with news from Tokyo, the Olympic Games. We're joined on the line by the former Irish Athletics team manager, Patsy McGonigal. Good evening, Patsy.
Good evening, Kenny.
Well, Patsy, the Olympics, I suppose, that they're winding up this Sunday, I suppose, will be all over. But it's been a busy time in the athletics scene. But, of course, the big news tonight, I suppose, will be Brenton Boyce's appearance at 9:30 this evening in the 50k walk.
Yes, absolutely, Kenny. It's something to look forward to now this evening at 9:30, as you say. And from what I can gather, the only people showing it is Eurosport, to let people know that. And I think you have to pay a subscription, which is unfortunate, but that's the only way to actually see it live. But anyway, it's on at 9:30, and of course it'll go on for the best part of nearly 4 hours, just people that understand that. 50K is 50K, and conditions are very, very, very humid. Conditions are very, very hot. And, you know, the 20K guys went earlier today, and the temperature in Sapporo, where this event's been held, is there's no great difference between it and Tokyo. So he's going to have to deal with the heat, and that's it. But he knew that. He knew that when he was going out there. And indeed, when he was in Doha last year, you know, sure, it was the same thing. They had to hold the event in the middle of the night just to try and avoid the heat. So, look, you know, you plan for what you know about, and heat was one of the things. So we're excited to see now how it'll all go tonight.
Patsy, it's one of the things, I suppose. He seems pretty confident, but it's one of the things you have to put into that, especially that event. There's sacrifices. I seen he had about his children. He hasn't seen them in a while. And, you know, going to this heat and one thing and another. And it's his third Olympics, 29th to 19th. And he's hoping that this time he'll take a step further up the ladder.
Well, you know, you'd like to think that's the way it would be, you know, the progression, you know. And I mean, I'm sure that's the thoughts when he's been, you know, filling in the last 5 years, you know, to just get to these Olympics and to progress. And he's learning, he's more experienced. And, you know, this 50K is a very complex event. You know, you mean it'll not really develop until maybe the last hour. You know, there'll be a lot of people who will crumble at some point, and people will hit the front and not be able to stay, and people will collapse. And, you know, that's just the nature of the 50K. It's a gripping event, but it's a tough event. And you know, he's been down that road before. He knows the score, and I'm sure he's mentally strong enough at this point in time. And as you say, he sacrificed, but sacrifice is the name of the game in elite sport anyway. You know what I mean? You're either going to sacrifice, and you're going to lead a lifestyle that suits the event that you're in. And the world of athletics is a lonely old game, you know. But he's been lucky in that he's had good training partners in Cork when he was in Cork. And Rob Heffernan was there to lead the group. And, you know, he spent the last, 5 weeks in the Sierra Nevada Mountains up above Granada there in Spain, again in the heat. And that has gone very, very well for him. And he's come back from there and come down from there to head on to Tokyo in very confident mood. So, look, we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed that all goes well from tonight.
Yeah, it's a very, very unpredictable event, I'm sure. Nobody could predict what's going to happen in an event like that. As you say, going into the last hour, you might still have a long way to go in that heat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I remember standing in Rio and Phyllis collapsing, and indeed then the miracle was they got up against some of them, you know. When you just look, they're a tough breed, and this is the last of the global 50Ks. The event has been discontinued by World Athletics after this, and it's been shortened to a shorter event, like 35K or so. So, you know, he wanted to give it everything, this particular event, at being the last, and that's the thing. But, you know, it has to be said, Kenny, he's an absolute, unbelievable credit to to Milford, to Donegal, to Finn Valley, to the whole athletic scene here in Donegal that he's been able to persevere since his early days with Milford, of course, and then going over to Leeds and you know, Carnegie and all that. And he always had the desire, and you have to give him absolute credit for that, you know. And he's also had great family support. That's a common denominator with a lot of these people that are out there, you know, family support, because it's not always going to run smooth, you know.
Yeah, Patsy, we all wish him the best of luck, of course, but just what was your reflection overall of the Olympics this time?
Oh, the Olympics were cheap, of course. The big thing coming out of the Olympics is all the personal bests, world records and all that, you know. And there's obviously, the debate now is around the nature of the track, you know, what advantage is the track given. The other debate's gone on about the shoes, the technology of the shoes, and these are things that are happening. And there's another third thing being thrown into the mix there. During the COVID, there was a big laxity in terms of testing, and how much of these brilliant performances are down to lack of testing, drug testing. We don't know. We just don't know. But the bottom line is there were some unbelievable performances. It was a great Olympics on the track. No crowds, of course, which kind of was a serious damper. But, you know, when you look beyond that, there was just unbelievable stuff. Ireland haven't done well, of course, but you're listening. I don't think that they were going to do any much better than they actually did. You know, we don't have. I said this in an interview earlier today, Kenny. We just don't have an absolute standout athlete that can make a final. We just don't. We don't have at this moment in time. We don't have that type of athlete. And you know, if you had such an athlete, it would give you great focus, you know. So probably in some ways, our last chance saloon may be Brendan Boyce tonight.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Patsy. Listen, thanks a million for joining us. And as I say, everybody wishing Brenton Boyce the best of luck tonight.
No bother. Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Patsy. Half nine tonight, Brenton Boyce, 50k walk. Long, long, tough event that. And as you probably heard earlier on, Kelly Harrington's guaranteed at least a silver medal in the boxing, which will help that Irish team. I know it's not athletics, of course, but she's part of the Irish team. Well, we're going to go into League of Ireland football first of all. We'll check some of the scorelines in the Europa League. At half time, it's Vitesse Arnhem 1, Dundalk 0. Shamrock Rovers, they play Albanian side Toyota. That game's at 8 o'clock. Larne, they're also in action. They've just started against Paços de Ferreira of Portugal. That game just kicked off at 7 o'clock. And in the Europa League itself, that's the Europa Conference, those other teams are in. In the Europa League, it finished FC Jablonets 2, Celtic 4. Well, we have a quick break to take when we come back. We'll be looking into the League of Ireland action this weekend. Welcome back to The Score. League of Ireland Premier Division this weekend. 4 games down for decision. Starting tomorrow night, the first team in action, Derry City. They're up against Drogheda United at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. 7:45 is the kick-off time. Well, speaking to Kevin McLaughlin, Derry City boss Rory Higgins, he expects to face a tough night against Drogheda United tomorrow evening.
Be a really tough game. They're a good side, young, energetic, much like ourselves. And it should be a good game of football with two teams who want to have a go, and hopefully we come out on top.
Tom Clancy's side has been started off like a house on fire. Recently, they've a wee bit of a blip, shall we say, with a couple of defeats. They're going to be looking to try and bounce back sooner or later.
Aye, there'll be a wounded animal. I was at their game last week and against Waterford, and they definitely didn't deserve to lose the game by any stretch of the imagination. So they'll come up here with the bit between their teeth, and I'm sure they'll have a go at us and be positive, and which will make for a good game.
And team news, what's the situation?
Aye, we're good. Mark Walsh is long term, but Kieran Harkin comes back from suspension, so aye, we're fine.
So competition replaces what you want,
basically. Aye, good competition replaces and attacking players in good form, so we look forward to it.
Yeah, Derry set up against Drogheda United tomorrow night, 7:45. The next game up is Waterford up against Bohemians. That one's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And Waterford FC have announced that their manager, Mark Burcham, has just signed a new contract with the club. He took over in May and has signed a new 2-year contract until the end of 2023. Well, the third game of the season up, it's Sligo Rovers. They're up against Finn Harps, a big North West derby as usual. Jeremy Doherty spoke this week with Ollie Horgan and began by asking the Harps manager how the mood among the players is ahead of what's another important game.
Things are good as regards the togetherness. Certainly the training has been good. Often training is that little bit better when you don't have maybe a competitive match the next day, and maybe the little bit of pressure or tension isn't as much as what it would be. It has been good and very together, which we need to have any hope of trying to survive in it, but we need to try and carry that in to get a result or two, or maybe a hell of a lot more to try and gather enough points to stay in this division.
Yeah, because when you didn't have a game, Ollie, you watched the results elsewhere in the Premier Division, and again, Waterford got another big result and have suddenly moved ahead of you in the table.
Yeah, and you know, we said it, and I tried to explain this when Waterford had the new investor and who they took in. I mean, I wasn't throwing names out for the crack. The ones that we knew of and the ones that we found out about have a savage experience in England with maybe 500 league games each individually. Don't mind, you know, 50 that maybe some of our lads have, but once you saw their level of investment, you knew that they were catching more than us, and I think they may catch more than just us. So we knew the minute that the new investor came in that and what they took in and signed with a lot of lads out of England, and indeed Eddie Nolan coming home that may have, you know, played all his life in England. So did it surprise us? Absolutely not. You know, they may catch more than us. You know, the result probably that went us our way was the fact that Derry beat Longford, who we need to keep behind us to at least not be at the bottom of the table.
Okay. Well, Waterford have brought players in. You've made a couple of signings yourself in recent weeks. Jordan Musto is there a few weeks now at this stage. Daniel Hawkins as well. Ollie, Conor Barry has gone the other way. He's gone on loan to Athlone Town. Can we expect any more additions to your squad, or what way does that work now with the transfer window?
You have until the end of July or end of August for out-of-work professionals, but it's difficult in attracting lads at this time of the year in this window. A lot of them feel that maybe they have a chance in England, and until the league gets up and running in England, and they realise that maybe not. But some of them hold on out there and wait to see can they get a contract in the lower leagues and the non-leagues in England before they take a chance on us. And often the January window is the easier time when people realise what they have and haven't got there. But no, have we anybody lined up? No, it's not for the lack of trying, and we'll keep trying. We need to take possibly one, if not two, in before the end of the transfer window, and obviously keep what we have there. But if we can get it right, we'll have a serious cut-off this tournament. Like, it's probably nothing different than any other year, but we need to turn it, and to be fair to the lads, it's not for the lack of trying.
Yeah. Well, you go into this game against Sligo Rovers, Ollie. You've played well against Sligo this season, but unfortunately things didn't go the way in terms of picking up points against them. How are you fixed this weekend? Is everybody available? Because you've had your injury problems and players been suspended as well.
Yeah, and we've both had the weekend with a couple of injuries. We've one suspension, and they would all be, if you like, starters, if that's such a thing with us. But, you know, we're hoping Sligo might have a couple of injuries and maybe a suspension as well to even it out. But it's a difficult place to go. We haven't had a huge track record down there. But, you know, we'll approach it and take a cut off it. Like, you know, we lost narrowly down there 1-0. At the start of the season when we were going very well. And we probably played very well at home against them in Finn Park, but we still lost 2-1. And it was a sign, I remember saying at Sligo at the time, they didn't play well in Finn Park and still won. And it was a good sign of them, and that's really why they're up at the top end of the table.
Yeah, and do you expect them to stay there, Ollie? Because, I mean, they were in Europe as well. Unfortunately, things didn't go their way there. So perhaps they have to find a way to bounce back themselves.
Look, they have serious quality about them, and you know the table doesn't lie for that matter. Yeah, they've lost, but the European game, but like they're not the first team that lost in Europe, and won't be the last team, to put it that way to you. Look, I've no doubt they'll bounce back. We're just hoping that maybe it might take them a week longer to bounce back, German. But you know, we'll have our work cut out to get anything out of there, and especially if we're not at the top level, and we haven't been really at the top level of what we can do in recent weeks, and we need to turn it, and no better place to try and turn it than the Shorgals.
Okay, I know it's a few weeks out just yet, Ollie, but Derry City are going to be the opponents in the next round of the FAI Cup. That match is due to take place towards the end of the month. Any thoughts on that draw, or have you even had any thoughts about it at all?
Not really, no. I mean, all that concerned us was whether the Bowes game was going to go ahead the weekend just gone or not. And obviously, once that was pulled, we concentrated on Sligo. Just on reflection, when you're saying it now, you know, it's a great draw in normal circumstances, a home draw against Derry in the Cup. You know, in normal times, the place would be jammed. You couldn't get a better ask of it financially in that. Look, we've got a home draw, albeit against a team that have improved under Rory and are continue to improve. And, you know, it'll football-wise, it's a hugely difficult ask. But we're at home, and we've nothing to lose in it. Like, if you could get supporters in, it would be exactly the draw that you would have wanted, Dermot.
Molly Horgan there, speaking to Dermot Doherty, looking ahead to Finn Harps, who travel to face Sligo Rovers in the North West Derby at the Showgrounds. We'll have full live commentary with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle on Highland Radio from the kickoff time, 7:45 on Saturday evening. And by the way, Finn Harps were informed today that there'll be no away ticket allocation for that game. No away ticket allocation for Finn Harps fans for that game. Other games over the weekend on Sunday due to the Europa Conference. Dundalk hosts St Pat's at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And Shamrock Rovers, they play Longford Town, also 3 o'clock on Sunday. Well, Dermot caught up with former Finn Harps defender Keith Cowan ahead of another very busy weekend in that Premier Division.
Keith, Bohemians' performance in Europe has ensured it's been another fascinating week for fans of League of Ireland football. But we'll talk about that in a moment or two. But first up is this North West Derby on Saturday night. Another big game for Harps. And perhaps, given the fact that Sligo have such a good record against Ollie Horgan's side in recent times, they will start favourites for this one.
I think you have to look at Sligo was favourites for this one, Jeremy. You know, they've won the last three encounters between the two sides. You know, they're in third position. Harps, you know, with 1-1-12, a side of the Cup one last time out against Fairview. But yeah, you have to look at Sligo for favourites for this one, just going through the squads and the quality that they have. And I suppose, you know, we don't like to mention too often, but the full-time setup and that there. But, you know, again, it's a derby match. Sligo aren't going too well at the minute. You know, they've lost their last four games, you know, albeit two of those in cup competition, two in Europe, and then one against Cork City in the cup, which, you know, they would have been wanting to be winning that one and, you know, trying to get a cup run together. But so they'll be looking very much now at the league and focusing on that there. And, you know, trying to have... trying to push up. They have a couple of games in hand as well, so they'll be looking to try and catch Pats, who are in second.
Yeah, and the thing is, Harps have played up there this season already, played well that night against Sligo Rovers, and that was at a time when Harps were going well. Unfortunately, a costly error on the night cost them the game, and that was a chance for Harps to kick on, but unfortunately it just didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, the luck to that game, and, you know, they'll probably try and bring themselves as a group back to that period when they had been playing so well, had been picking up points, you know, most weeks. And, you know, for whatever reason, just things haven't been going their way. You know, a mistake that night from Mark Anthony McGinley, you know, he'll obviously be quite hard on himself for that one. And I think it was young Johnny Kenny at the time, nicked the goal, who's, you know, been showing great promise for Sligo as well. But, you know, Harps need to go there. They need to, you know, really ramp up the kind of derby type of atmosphere and hype, and, you know, try and get a point or try and get 3 points, because you know, it's been quite a few weeks since they haven't been able to get some points on the board. And, you know, they are kind of slipping down, and, you know, Waterford kind of resurgent as well, have been sort of picking up points and picked up points last week as well. So, you know, they won't want to be losing sight of them. And, you know, I think Waterford play early on Saturday. I think they have a 2 o'clock kickoff against Bowes. So, you know, before that game kicks off, they could find themselves 5 points behind Waterford, you know. So, look, they'll be very much focusing on themselves this week. I'm sure they've had a couple of weeks now to prepare for this game. So, I think they've got a fully fit squad, and, you know, the new signings as well will add a bit more to them. So hopefully they can kick on and, you know, just try and get some more points on the board.
Yeah, because it's another important weekend, isn't it, in the League of Ireland, and Harps fans are looking. All of a sudden, Harps are right down there again, Keith, and they'll be hoping that results elsewhere this weekend go their way. So an important weekend.
Yeah, all round. You know, again, just the one that I mentioned there before that there was the Waterford game against Bowes. You know, Bowes have been going really well. Hopefully they're not suffering much of a European hangover after last night. You know, a great result. So hopefully Donegal and Georgie Kelly might be able to nick a few. And, you know, obviously Bowes will be looking to the league as well now to try and... They haven't played as many games. They've got a couple on hand, so they'll be wanting to catch up with the lads in fourth and fifth as well.
Yeah, and Longford as well are in action this weekend too. And Ollie Horgan was suggesting during the week that Longford's defeat against Derry and at Bishopgate last weekend, you know, that was a good result as far as Hearts fans could be concerned.
Oh, definitely. You know, like Derry don't do Hearts fans many favours, or Hearts teams in general many favours, but that was one. Look, I can't see Longford maybe getting much this weekend. It's a top against bottom. You know, they've got Shamrock Rovers coming down there. You know, Shamrock Rovers will have their own ideas of what they want to do. They're playing tonight, I think, in Europe as well. So, you know, maybe they might have a changed team for the Longford. They probably won't go full strength if they're playing tonight. But, you know, any team that they put out is of great quality. You know, we speak about, you know, the signings that they've made. You know, Richie Tyle coming back into that team as well from England. You know, there was talk of Robbie Brady coming back, who's been released by Burnley, him coming back to Shamrock Rovers. There's talk of Stephen Bally, the manager, maybe going to MK Dons. So, you know, a lot happening around Shamrock Rovers at the minute, and hopefully those distractions, you know, won't add to anything that they might do tonight. So they hope to be fully focused on Longford for Sunday and pick up maximum points.
Yeah. And what about Derry City then, Keith? They're in action on Friday night against Drogheda. Rory Higgins has turned things around big time there. They have a couple of new additions in as well. So, I mean, it's onwards and upwards for everybody with Derry.
Yeah, Derry have, you know, picked up really well under Rory. And, you know, maybe you have to mention Raf Kataro's going in there as well on the coaching staff. So Raf's energy is, you know, as infectious. We know of him from also obviously playing against him with Sligo and being at Harps for a while as well. So he's also a great addition. Maybe he's not really mentioned too often. But now Raf's excellent in there. That's actually a big game. It's fifth against sixth, and it's a chance for Derry to leapfrog Drogheda into that fifth position. So, you know, they'll be looking to get maximum points there. A home game. We think of players that they've brought in. Bastian Airey from Bowes, who is currently at Waterford and then went to Linfield, went to Bohemians, which I was kind of surprised at the start of the season, because he wasn't getting much game time at Linfield. But maybe he's brought in for his experience or whatever, but he's come in. Brendan Barr has gone to Ballymena. Young Brendan Barr, who was at Finn Harps as well, went into Derry and was getting more game time under deck on the Vine before his departure. So he's moved on to Ballymena. Hopefully get more game time there under David Jeffries. I know he is trying to focus a lot on youth this year, and he's going to give youth a chance. So there's one. Hopefully wish Brendan all the best with that. And Parkhouse as well, David Parkhouse, who had a great season for Derry when he was on loan from Sheffield United 2 years ago. He was obviously came in and with a lot of emphasis put on him, you know, starting games and trying to score goals for Derry, but it hasn't really worked out for him. I don't think he's picked up a goal this year. So there's talk of him maybe going to Cliftonville, or him maybe going to Ballymena as well. So there's a lot of to and fro from Derry there, but, you know, they haven't been distracted by that. They were able to get through their cup game as well, and they've set up a great game with Harps on the 28th of August, you know, a real derby. So that's going to be great for them, but they'll be focusing very much on the league this week and trying to pick up 3 points and move up another step in the table.
Yeah, and they'll have probably their largest home attendance as well for that game on Friday night against Drogheda, which is great to see. And big numbers at Bowes European games as well at the Aviva. They've been, you know, really, really exciting matches, and Bowes delivering the goods again on Tuesday night. Keith, Georgie Kelly involved in one of the goals, a big result against a very, very good Greek side.
Yeah, you know, that a great result for them. You know, they've been they seem to be on a bit of a crest wave at the moment, you know, with the European football, and, you know, doing well in the league. And, you know, I don't think we can talk about Bowes without talking about Georgie Kelly. You know, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's had maybe a slow start to the season, and we were kind of maybe wondering, is this move going to work out for him? You know, he'd been at Dundalk, where he maybe hadn't been the main man. He got a move then to a loan move to Pats. Didn't really materialise for him. And then he's got this move to Bohemians, and over the last couple of months, he's really just set it alight. You know, he's got 13 goals in his last 13 games. You know, he's up for player of the month this year, not surprising at all. You know, he's got 4 goals in Europe so far. You know, he is really playing well. And, you know, you kind of worry then, or Bows fans, I'm sure, worry, but, you know, exciting for us here in the Northwest to talk about Georgie Kelly. Would he potentially get a move to, you know, England or Scotland or off the back of this great run of form that he's having? But you know, I just for him, you know, he's been doing so well, and you know, Bohemians as a whole, it's kind of like every year now, you know, one League of Ireland team picks up and kind of carries the can for the whole league in terms of the European football. You know, it's been Dundalk in the past with many great nights, but it'll be tough for them now going to Greece. And you know, we know of that POK team that they have, and you know, they think of the experience that they have, the international players that they have. You know, a couple of United fans will remember Shinji Kagawa, you know, played with United, won leagues at United, same at Dortmund there, you know, so they've got a host of internationals and a host of experience, you know, with them. So it'll be a tough return leg for Bows, but all the best to them and all the best to Georgie as well.
Keith Cowan speaking to Jeremy Doherty there, and don't forget the Finn Harps game up at the Showgrounds against Sligo Rovers will be live here on Highland Radio on Saturday Sport. Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle with the commentary. Commentary starts about 7:40, the match at 7:45. Just to let you know that in the Europa Conference, it's currently Vitesse Arnhem 1, Dundalk 1. Patrick Michelini has equalised with a great header for Dundalk. Moving on to Gaelic games, coming up shortly, we'll be looking ahead to the Minor Football Championship between Armagh and Donegal. That one's in Healy Park. We'll have live commentary of that on HighlandRadio.com with Oisin Kelly and former Donegal under 20 manager Gary McDade tomorrow evening from a throw-in time of 7:30. First of all, we're going to check in on hurling. The Donegal Club Hurling Championship, both senior and junior, gets underway over the weekend. Tom Comack has been looking ahead to the weekend's action with well-known hurling coach and official Dahi Roberts.
Moving on to the senior, Dahi, and we're delighted you could join us tonight on The Score. I suppose the big question on everybody's lips, Satanta are the reigning champions. St. Junan's ran them close last year, but big question on everybody's lips, has anybody made up ground on Satanta, or is that the question?
Well, that seems to be the question. You know, the Satanta, they're a very proud hurling club over in the east of the county, and they have some very, very, very good star players like Danny Cullen and Coulter and Gilmore and stuff. So like them boys will be coming in, they're looking to go for another senior championship, you know. And I'd say that you don't want to, I'm sure they don't want me sitting here saying that it'll be hard to beat them, but you know, the potential's definitely there. If they're worked on back their club now for the last couple of weeks, and hopefully, you know, that's just Unions won't be thinking along those lines, you know. So
yeah, well, they wrapped up the league last week, which is a big boost to them.
That's correct, yeah. And again, the Satanta were playing without the majority of their county players. So, you know, just I suppose it depends on how the county players react coming back to club. I don't think they'll be left wanting, or they'll be wanting anything there. But but certainly, St. Unions this last couple of years have put it up to them, and they've maybe disappointed themselves because they made feel that they left it behind them a bit last year with a bad start.
Yeah.
Satanta got well in front in the county final, and it was a bit lopsided. But by the time the final whistle went, it certainly had levelled up a bit. But yeah. You know, certainly you would think that, sort of looking in on it, that it would be Satanta would be favourites there. But as I said,
is Davin Flynn? We know he opted out of the county. Is he back playing club?
Wouldn't be 100% sure about that, but again, if Satanta are able to get out all their players and their big names, you know, he was a big asset to them last year in the county final.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, they're class players, like, you know, there's no doubt about it. But they also, Satanta would also have some young blood coming through as well from a good, very good minor team. There's a Rory Campbell, he came on, played for the county this year. Um, he's, he's just turned 18, I'm sure. I remember being out, I think it was the Mayo game, and he came on and he scored a few frees. So he's certainly taking his chance, but you know, he always saw that potential in him. I was kind of coaching him with the, during the Celtic Challenge team a couple of years ago, and yeah, you'd have definitely said that he'd have been one that would come through.
Yeah, and of course, Kevin Campbell is still there as well. I think he's still playing at club level.
Yep. Yeah, and like you know, Setanta do have a good mix of the younger players coming through, and then you know sort of the old, not the older established players like you know Danny Cullen there and Coulter and you know the
Gilmore,
Jared Gilmore, yeah, they're good strong players, and they, you know if they get to blend, if they're able to blend in and sort of work together and bring the young fellas along, then you know they'll be there for another few years.
And of course, Sean McVeigh, what Conor O'Grady, Kevin Kiley,
Well, like you know, you're still talking about you know class players on either side. So, you know, the county players come back, it's up to them to stand up and show the leadership and bring the other players in along with them.
And tell me, what are McCool's? As we mentioned, McCool's and Bort, obviously, you can never dismiss them. Though I think they're going through a bit of a transition at the moment.
Yeah, both those clubs that you've mentioned, McCool's and Bort, you know, there's kind of transition, and McCool's didn't have much success this last couple of years at underage, so you know they mightn't have the numbers coming through. Bert are again they are a kind of a young team. There's one fella I would say to look out for, Connor Gartland, very good minor the last couple of years, and he was playing on the under 20 team. You could see the class that you know that they do have the skill level and the variety of skills. So Connor Gartland there for Bert, and you know again it's a young team. They're maybe rebuilding again, probably something similar to McCool, but then again, you know, you can't really rule out McCool's either. You know, you might expect them to get through to a semi-final game. So,
And tell me, what if Buncrana? They shall we say turned heads? The defeated St. Junan thing in the first game last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, the Buncrana have been about there since I've been involved with Hurling and Donegal, and a lot of those names you kind of recognise. There's the Jack O'Loughlin's, Dylan Duffy, PJ McCarron, and Arshane Grant. They were the backbone of a few minor teams that were cleaning up at underage. So you know, this is the kind of this maybe is their young ones coming through. You know, blending in, so you know, they'll be thereabouts now. They might be, obviously, I don't think they'd be as strong as the like of Unions or Setanta, but then listen, Buncrana might have something different to say.
Yeah, you know? And of course, Bort, as we mentioned, obviously going through transition, and they're due to play Buncrana tomorrow evening. That game has been postponed, I think maybe now on Sunday, as a mark of respect to Mary McLaughlin, who's sadly passed away. And of course, Mary, a big family, the McLaughlin family in Donegal, the hurling, and our sympathies to Ronan and Gary and Joe and all the family on the sad passing of Mary.
Exactly, and as I said, you know that there's a few games off for Bert this weekend because of that bereavement. So it's just one of those things, a mark of respect. But I think that game will go ahead on Sunday. Although I don't have confirmation of that, but it should go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. So and it's actually Butler at home for that one as well. So Buncrana, it's been an interesting one, a local derby.
Yeah. Well, listen. You see, the two teams might be thereabouts with each other. So you know, as I said, it might be a bit of the young bucks of Buncrana maybe going against the old hands of Bert. So whatever has the legs for it, you know.
Yeah. And the only game now, senior game on tomorrow night is McCool's and Setanta. Another local derby.
Yeah, well, again, listen, you know, Setanta don't have very far to go down the road down to Ballybuffet. So, you know, they'll McCool's will relish that having a home advantage against Setanta. You know, and the, you know, there'll be no quarter given there. You know, so it's a bit of excitement, and it's good to see the teams getting out.
And you're expecting Setanta to win it, though, are you?
Well, I would expect Satanta to win. You could throw a coin up between Buncrana and Burt at the minute. You wouldn't want to call that one. And then the other one, I would say, now Unions are going to be too strong for Carndonagh.
Carndonagh won the junior last year, and
it's always tough to move up, and if they've lost a few players, or people retiring or moving away, all the clubs, short numbers and things like that, but you would certainly think that Unions would be too strong. Although in the league now, I think Unions and Cairn played out a draw in their league game now. Up in Cairn
again. Like the junior. This is a round robin with the top four. I think. Who do you see making to the top four?
I would say Satanta and Unions would be kind of the two, and then you could sort of take your pick between Buncrana, Burt, McCools, those three. I can't see Cairn now making the top four.
Dahi Roberts there speaking to Tom Comack, looking ahead to the action in the hurling this weekend. You can hear the full interview with Dahi on our website in the sports section, highlandradio.com. We have a short break to take, and when we come back, we'll be looking at the minor championship semi-finals. Welcome back to The Score. Just to update you, in the Europa Conference League, it's currently Vitesse Arnhem 2, Dundalk 2. Patrick McElhinney scored both goals for Dundalk. They're into the 90th minute, and that one would be a great result if it stays like that. And elsewhere, it's Pacos de Ferreira 0, Larne 0, approaching half-time. Well, in Gaelic games, the Donegal Minor Footballers, they're bidding for a place in the Ulster Minor Championship final tomorrow night. They face Armagh in the last four in the championship in Omagh. And don't forget, we have live commentary here on highlandradio.com with Oisin Kelly and Gary McDade on that one. And the other semi-final sees Tyrone play Fermanagh in the second semi-final on Saturday evening. Tom Comack has been looking ahead to both those games with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News.
Well, Ryan, delighted you could join us tonight on The Score. Looking ahead to tomorrow night's Ulster Minor semi-final, the two of them in actual fact, Donegal of course, they face Armagh in Healy Park, and then on Saturday it's Tyrone and Fermanagh. Of course, Fermanagh caused something of a big surprise, beating Cavan up in Cavan in the minor championship, the four best teams in the semi-final.
Yeah, well, you'd have to say on what we've seen so far, Tom, and they probably are. I suppose maybe Monaghan would have other thoughts on that. Like they were a good side, and Donegal had to battle very hard to beat those. And I suppose maybe Armagh would come with Derry would perhaps say that they were in the reckoning as well, and maybe just edged out by Armagh and a cracker of a game in Own Bag. But yeah, there's four teams left standing, and it hasn't been easy for these teams to prepare for the minor championship this year. They lost the year last year, the Buncrana Cup too. So maybe there's not a huge amount of knowledge on these teams, and they're getting to go out and have a go at it. And the four teams that are left in it will all be eyeing up a final berth.
Yeah, and of course, looking at Donegal, first of all, really, it's been so far so good. Big win over Antrim the first day, heading into the unknown, as you said, because nobody knew much about any of these teams, but really, I suppose the one that has plucked everybody's ears and make everybody look up is that win over Monaghan, because they have been something of the benchmark in Ulster in the last couple of years. They were going for three in a row. They've won the last two minors.
Yeah, well, I think actually Derry won the last minor title there a couple of weeks ago from the one overdue from last year, but Monaghan had won the two before that. And, Donegal teams have had trouble with them, even if you go back to the last time Donegal won an Ulster minor title in 2016. They had a very tough semi-final against Monaghan that year as well. So Monaghan, have very much got their house in order at underage level, and they're producing good teams and good players every year, and really probably punching above their weight. And probably, you were looking at it and thinking Donegal is a bigger county, and sooner rather than later we need to start, getting the upper hand on this duo. And thankfully it came there last Wednesday in Clonus, and it was a tight 2-point victory for Donegal, but I suppose ultimately you know, ultimately they played a game with 14 players for more than half the match. Like, you know, so they were probably a good bit the better team on the day. And maybe it was the brilliance of young Stephen Mooney that kept Monaghan in it. And he was really, really impressive and definitely a name to look forward to or look out for going forward.
Yeah, and obviously a very gutsy performance from Donegal because conditions were trying enough as well. And like it wasn't just any old player that lost. They lost their centre half back, Ethan Friel.
Yeah, Ethan, you know, I thought he was probably a little bit unlucky. You know, he came in and I thought he went for the ball. And, you know, the referee gave him a second yellow. And I suppose maybe sometimes you think when it's under 17s, maybe there should be a little bit of sentiment there. I thought perhaps he was a wee bit unlucky and maybe could have got away with one there, maybe a ticking, you know. But it wasn't to be. And, you know, Ethan was distraught on the sideline after the match or during the match, you know. But his teammates dug him out of it. A lot of grit, a lot of determination on show. And, they grinded it out, you know. The Monaghan made a whirlwind start to the second half, and at that stage you were thinking, you know, it's going to be really tough for Donegal. But they managed just to play their way into it, and the sides were level at the second half water break, and then Donegal kicked for home, and Monaghan couldn't live with them in that final quarter.
Who was impressed you on this Donegal team?
Well, I suppose there's, you know, a lot of players have impressed. I suppose the goalkeeper Aaron Cullen to start with. Very, very comfortable in the ball, very willing to come out and get on the ball. You know, I suppose we're looking at Rory Began and Niall Morgan and these boys, and this is the way maybe goalkeeping's going, and Aaron Cullen looks like he's going to be a man who's prepared to do it. I thought Cara McGee from Dunloe had a very impressive game at cornerback the last day. Tigerish defender, always able to seem to get his hand in. Just up the road from him, then in the Rossa club, Austin Caulfield had a very good game at left half back. And I thought over on the other side, Sean Martin from McCool's had a very good game at right half back. A lot of energy going up the field to keep one great score as well. Cahill McKeever from Clonhilly had a very strong game at midfield, contested very well for in the aerial exchanges, a big strong man. And then I suppose going into the forwards then, Conor Reid, played war number 9, but played at right half forward. Thought he was busy and energetic. Conor McGinty on the far wing did well as well. And then Luke McGlynn in the forwards had a good game. Probably a little bit more in Luke, I would say. You know, like Monaghan were very, very wary of him. And, you know, he kicked a couple of brilliant points, took his goal very well. You know, but I would say that probably there probably is a little bit more in Luke and is probably trying to get that out of him. And the other big thing about this Donegal minor team is they're getting great impact off their bench. Gary Kelly did very well when he came on. And Michael Callaghan, for the second game in a row from Neve Columba, you know, he really impressed again. And, you know, he will be pushing very hard for a start and for this Friday's game, I would say, Tom.
And what have you managed to find out about Armagh this week? Obviously, other than that big, well, a narrow win over Derry, but given that Derry had, well, I suppose it's hard to know what the Derry's level of preparation was, given that they had eyes on a couple of trophies at the same time.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is the one thing about Derry. You know, like they were going for the, I suppose we'll call it maybe the under 18 minor title this year, and you know it's the same management team, and I know there was a big carryover of players as well. So there probably was a little bit of disruption in there, and you know you'd wonder maybe did they get the same level of training that the other teams have? But from what we gather, you know, Armagh came from 5 points down to win. So that shows that they have a lot of character about them as well. The big, strong physical team. They've got a Grimley in midfield, a bit of a throwback there, Ty Grimley. And interestingly, Tom, they have a man with strong Donegal connections playing for them at left half forward. That's Brendan O'Hagan. And Brendan goes to school at St Union's College and formerly played with the Neve Colin Kill Club, but he's now transferred to his father's club, Barry, up in Lurgan. And I think I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm fairly sure he played minor last year as well. So he's a talented lad, and he'll take a bit of watching. And I'm told that they have a couple of lively inside forwards as well. So, you know, that's all, I suppose, indicates that they're going to be a formidable opposition, and it could be another tight game.
Yeah. And before we finish up with that one, looking at the other game, the other semi-final, which is on Saturday evening, Tyrone versus Fermanagh, home advantage to Tyrone and Healy Park. As I mentioned, Fermanagh is a strong Donegal connection as well, obviously, but somewhat of a surprise win over Cavan up in Breftony Park, or was it?
Well, I suppose I don't really know if it was a huge surprise, Tom, because Fermanagh have been making, you know, strong strides at underage level over the last few years. You know, even if I think back to maybe 2017, they played Donegal up in an Ulster Minor League game in Irvinstown, and I think it was a draw that day, and I was very impressed with Fermanagh, and they beat Donegal under 20 level a couple of years after that, and you know, by all accounts, they were quite unlucky not to progress further in last year's minor championship as well. So, you know, as you mentioned, a strong Donegal connection. Mark McHugh's obviously in as a coach, and Maurice McLaughlin is in as the manager. So, you know, there's a big Donegal push on there, and it's probably good to see Fermanagh doing it. Cavan, perhaps, you know, maybe underachieving a wee bit at underage level this year. They were quite poor in the under 20s as well. Not quite sure what's happening in the Breffni County at underage level, but, you know, Fermanagh got the better of them, and they go through now. You'd have to make Tyrone favourites to win, though. You know, Tyrone, very handsome, 3-16-9 points winners over Down in the last round, and they get to play in what we're now calling O'Neill's Healy Park. So, listen, it would be a brave man betting against them, I would say, at this stage.
Yeah, you back to Donegal and Armagh. You've been speaking to Luke Barrett this week. What's his feeling?
Well, I suppose he's talking about trying to keep the lads grounded, that they had a very good victory, and I suppose he wants them to enjoy that victory. But, you know, he's looking for them to get back and focus, and he's adamant that since the game against Monaghan, that they've been focused on Armagh since they left Clonus. They were ready to go, that they trained a couple of times this week. I think Conor Reid picked up a bit of an injury, so maybe a bit sweating on that. And Dara Ferry from Gwydor is out long term and hasn't been involved this year, so he's out as well. But I think, gathering from what he was saying, he's hoping that everybody else is going to be good to go. And, you know, as I suppose we've mentioned in the paper, you know, it's been a few years since Donegal got through to a minor final now, Tom. I think it was 2016. We haven't had a great record in general at getting through to Ulster minor final. So to get there would be a fairly significant achievement.
And in terms of what you've seen, would the fact that maybe Donegal have the extra game and a bit of momentum about them?
Yeah, like that is definitely a help, you would imagine. You know, and you know, they've shown that they can mix it. They've shown that they can win comfortably, and they've also shown that they know how to grind out the victory. And you know, that will be a help. But I suppose the one thing you would say against that too, Tom, is that these lads are under 17, and you know, even from the minors that we would have watched in years gone by, that difference of the year from under 17 to under 18, it does make a big difference, even in their physical development and the way they mature as players. You know, so I suppose you're not 100% sure how they're going to show up and how they're going to handle the big occasion and maybe the profile that the game brings with it. But hopefully Donegal will bring it and bring the right intensity and the right attitude, and it would be great if they could get the victory.
Yes, be great if they could. That was Ryan Ferry speaking to Tom Comack. Looking ahead to the Minor Football Championship semi-final at Healy Park in Omagh. 7:30 is the start time. Donegal against Armagh, that's tomorrow evening. And there's live commentary here on highlandradio.com with Oisin Kelly and former Donegal under 20 manager Gary McDeigh. The second semi-final is on back in Healy Park at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. Tyrone there up against Fermanagh. Well, just to tell you some of the results from the football action today, this evening, Europa League Conference, it's finished Vitesse Arnhem 2, Dundalk 2, Patrick Michelini with both goals for Dundalk. Vitesse had a man sent off. I presume it was for celebrating. He must have been booked and got booked again for celebrating the second goal. He sent off in the 90th minute. But a great result away from home for Dundalk against one of the top teams in Holland, Vitesse Arnhem. And it's currently Paços de Ferreira from Portugal 1, Larne 0. That's the half-time scoreline. Shamrock Rovers, they get underway against Te Ute from Albania, just kicking off shortly at 8 o'clock. In the Europa League, it was finished earlier on today in the Czech Republic. Jablonec 2, Celtic 4. So good result at last, probably for the new Celtic manager. It's his first victory. Don't forget, over the weekend, the North West Derby, Sligo Rovers against Van Harps, starting on the showgrounds at 7:45 on Saturday evening. The commentary starts with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle around 7:40 here on Highland Radio. Other fixtures over the weekend, Derry City, they're in action tomorrow night. 7:45 is the kickoff time at the Brandywell. Derry host Drogheda. Then on Sunday, two games fixed for 3 o'clock on Sunday because of the Europa action. Dundalk against St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers. They're up against Longford Town. And just finally, before we get wrapped up this evening, it's just a wish, hopefully, Brenton Boyce in action this evening. 9:30 is the start time. He's taking part in the 50k at the Olympics. And currently on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy's level par with 4 to go in the St Jude Championship. Shane Lowry's 1 under. Harris English leads on 6 under par. So that's just about it from the Score Show this evening. I'd like to thank Kevin Fury, who's flat out behind the scenes here working. From myself, Kenny Harkin, have a very good evening.